Welcome to the Reimagine Mobility Podcast Series. I'm here with Mike Kenhart, CTO and VP of Engineering at Alps Alpine. Thanks, Mike, for joining us. You have a long history in the mobility space. We've worked together at one point for a shorter period of time. Great to have you on the show. Maybe to start out with, give a little bit of your background, Mike, your experience and expertise areas. And then what do you do and what is Alps Alpine doing?
Doing great. Well, firstly, thank you for the invitation. My name is Mike Kenrod, and I'm, as you said, CT VPO of Engineering for Alps Alpine. My background is fully in the automotive space. So I'm mechanical engineer by training, but I've spent most of my time in and around automobiles, mainly on the powertrain side, but now with a focus on electronics. Alps Alpine is a global electronics company. We provide electronic solutions to a whole variety of business fields. So anything from consumer electronics to interior cabin entertainment systems. So that's what we do.
Very interesting. Maybe we'll start right there, right? As we again explore here together over the next 20, 25 minutes, how we reimagine mobility. How is the consumer side different from the automotive side? And how do you guys find commonality, but also differentiation to address in this market as you look forward over the next, let's say, 5 years or so?
Yeah, I think historically, these were two very different market sectors. But going forward, we see a merging of technologies and a merging of processing. So in the past, the automotive timetable for launching new products was very clear, very defined, and there was an expectation that you have iterative development throughout that process. But in the consumer space, people have got used to these leaps in technology that come very fast, and the timeline for delivery of that technology is also very fast. So I think going forward, the expectation is that the automotive industry is going to be challenged to meet the same type of aggressive launch program processes and leaps in technology that we see on the consumer side.
Interesting. So then when we take that and we say, so what is Alps Alpine doing then to be able not just, whatever, come out with a new product every 3 years, right? If we take the normal automotive development cycle, 2 to 3 years, but comes out with, let's go to the other extreme, consumer electronics, where I can buy a new phone with new features, functions, OS, chips, whatever it is, every 6 months. How do you guys balance this? Is it reuse of a lot of things and incrementally increase? Is it you just constantly push and come up with new methods and processes to go faster? Or how do you guys do it?
Yeah, I mean, we operate in both those spaces. So when we work with our customers in those different areas, what's really important to us is that we're bringing new technology to them. So we need to understand where they're going, where they're heading, what new technology they need, and have it ready at the timelines that work for them. So whether that's a three-year automotive launch schedule or it's a one-year to two-year consumer product launch, we need to be ready for that, and that's part of how we operate in our business.
Interesting. And then, since you're saying you guys bring the technology to the consumers or to your customers, right? Either an OEM or the consumer space in general. What is it then that we're going to see as we, in the mobility space now, back to reimagine the mobility space? What am I going to see in my car or in a car that I could buy? Maybe not my car. In let's say 5 years, Mike, that today maybe very few people are thinking about. I mean, example, right? 5-10 years ago, everybody talks about, oh, by 2020, you're going to have gesture controls in your vehicle. I've seen very few that have it, but everybody was excited about. What is it today that's not only kind of like pie in the sky or wishful thinking, but that you feel is going to be a reality in new vehicles we could buy, let's say, in five or 10 years, doesn't matter. But how do you see it in the future?
Yeah, I think firstly, we have to rethink what mobility is in terms of the experience that you have when you take part. So traditionally, you jump in your car, you may connect your phone, you're bringing your personal preferences, personal choice, whether it's infotainment, navigation, you bring that with you in on that journey. But going forward, we have to look at the whole experience as a mobility experience, as an extension of your preferences. So whether you are taking public transport, whether you're jumping into a vehicle, that space in the future will become an entertainment space. It will become a business space. It will become a communication space. And that's very different to how we look at automobiles today. So sure, you can have entertainment in your vehicle today. You can take a call on your vehicle today. But really it's an add-on to a vehicle. Whereas in the future, that space will be designed and developed primarily around those purposes. And a big driver for this is autonomous vehicles. So once you have that capability, that space opens up for endless possibilities that you do in that space. And that's where we play. So we're on the automotive side, we're very big in interior electronics, how to make the best use of that space. And so as I mentioned, autonomous is a big part of it, but also electrification. So if you have to spend time at a charging station, which will be part of our future, then what do you do during that time? What do you do during that space? Why not have a vehicle where everyone's sitting together, chatting, you know, continuing your meeting whilst you're charging? All of those things are options for the future.
So is it then, when I jump for a moment and look at what China has done over the last couple of years, right, a heavy focus on exactly what you just talked about, infotainment, right? Lots of screens, lots of functions, lots of technology, not only from a drivetrain perspective, but just from a what the consumer over there wants, technology in a vehicle, right? Is it then in your vision that in 5-10 years, when the reality of autonomous vehicles are there, there's still the push similar to what we're seeing in China now, and other OEMs are now picking up with more and more displays in the vehicle. The software-defined vehicle allows you to essentially customize what I like to do when I have to wait for charging, for example, what you like to do, what somebody else likes to do. Is this somewhat how we can envision this, or are there things today that you already know that will change that whole paradigm or hold that whole trajectory again as we see it right now? In my opinion, at least somewhat pushed by the Chinese and by their success of their technology in the vehicle.
I would say that a lot of the things that you're talking about are happening in North America today already. So, and I think a big part of it is, how do our customers differentiate their vehicles in the future? So historically, when you purchased a vehicle, the engine size tag on the back of the vehicle was how you chose your vehicle. But if you roll the dice forward on electrification, you can have an amazing powertrain experience with an EV, and everybody can do that. So how does company A differentiate against company B? And you know, maybe powertrain isn't how they're going to differentiate. It's going to be that in-vehicle experience. You've got to have the right mobility solution. It's got to get you where you need to get and provide an exhilarating experience. But ultimately, the consumers are going to be making buying choices based on the whole vehicle experience. So we see that starting to happen today already. The significant increase in the number of screens, the size of the displays, the functionalities that you have, that's happening. That's available today. And that will just continue. I think the China market has been key to the progression of that, but it's really happening everywhere.
Good point. When I talk and talk about connectivity, I always go back to like the beginning of the 2000s when I started to get involved in telematics, right? So the early on from what we call today connectivity, and back then, I don't think we had 3G just yet, but we all talked about we need higher throughput, you know, all the stuff we can do is going to be amazing. We just had 3G, and 3G came, and obviously we need more. Then 4G came, we said, oh, if we just could. Now we're at 5G, right? Is there still more? Can we still do more if we had even more bandwidth, even less latency? And if so, what are some of these things that I'm not aware of? What else I would want in my car? I mean, I can already watch movies. I can already more or less hold business meetings, even if videos, not while I'm driving, of course, et cetera. But what is the next generation of connectivity allowing us to do that today our listeners and myself don't necessarily have a line of sight to?
Yeah, great question. So in terms of connectivity between the vehicle, we've all been talking about connectivity from V2X and primarily on a safety and traffic efficiency point of view. So that those technologies are coming fast. But in addition to that, we have to think about the mass of data that's going to be available on the vehicle. And so, in the future, having 10, 15 high-definition cameras providing huge amounts of data to the processor on board, but also available for off-board processing, is also going to drive the need for some pretty significant communication and bandwidth increases. And some of that will be driven by consumer preference, so infotainment requirements, streaming, those sort of things. But also about from an assurance point of view, where if you think about it, if you've had an accident and all that data is available instantly to all the parties, all of those things, that will drive an increase on the amount of data that's being used, the availability of that data. So there's a lot to come there.
Okay. Maybe kind of adding to that data and to sensors. I mean, years ago when Google first came out, right, and had their autonomous vehicles driving around, I always maintain it's a perfect match for Google because Google is all about data. Now it's, online or on your a smartphone or smart device. But now you have a vehicle that drives through all sorts of different areas, collects terabytes and terabytes of data, and Google taking this, turning this around and selling this data to who knows who, right? Traffic routers, emergency vehicles, advertisers, blah, 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 blah. Do you see that as a future as well in what the traditional people or maybe even a company like yours is suddenly then collecting some of this data? And then my next question is using AI and how much is AI used today already?
Yeah, so I guess firstly, on the AI topic, AI is going to be part of everything that we all do going forward. I mean, there's so much potential to leverage AI for, whether it's on efficiency of development processes, software generation, the mass of data that we talked about that you're having to take on board through all the sensing streams to with fast processing solutions. That is becoming and will be a main part of what we do. But there are some challenges around AI that we need to consider. For example, algorithms that are developed through AI have IP challenges. Who owns those? So we have to be careful. And as businesses, the core of what we do is generation of IP. So that is a big part of what we need to think about in the future.
So then when you look at that moving sensor, right? Going back to my Google, because I always was fascinated when I first started thinking about it by the possibility of the state of this real world sensor. So it's not mounted on a pole or sitting in a device, but literally moving and collecting data. So sort of agree what today already happens with crowdsourced traffic information and everything else. But now we're talking cameras and information about people movement and exact weather and temperature conditions and all that stuff. Are these already inputs that you guys are having products with that you offer to your consumers or that you're working with? If you can share a little bit about that.
I would say the majority of what we do is providing the technology that enables these things to happen. So as an electronics manufacturer, we need to make sure we have the right communication modules and chips available. We have the right hardware technology that's going to interface with the new communication protocols that will work. So we're engaged and involved in that type of technology development to make sure we have the right product, because ultimately we're a product company. And so we have to keep close to these technical direction. trends to make sure our product lineup is going to match. So yes, we're involved. We're involved with our customers, with industry groups, to and key suppliers, to make sure that we know what those trends are, and we can make sure our product ranges are going to be appropriate.
Okay. Let's go back again. We talked about a little bit about China and the tremendous advancements they have made in connectivity, infotainment, the in-vehicle, the cabin experience. When you look at it from your current perspective as CTO, when you look at the technology roadmap, which country or countries, I'm not talking OEMs or whatever, countries, who do you think will lead in this space? Will it continue to be China that sort of has right now the spotlight focused on? Even though I completely agree with you, other regions, Europe and then certainly US, have been playing in this space as well, maybe not as elaborate or as extreme. But which region, if we take Europe, the US and China for a moment, or Asia, let's just leave it with Asia, or China and the rest of Asia, let's do those four. Which ones do you see will lead us into the next generation of in-vehicle experience technologies, if we put it in that field?
So I think China is a really, really interesting market, because they historically, for automobiles, it's been a rapidly expanding market. And so when you're in that environment, the acceptance of new technology is much greater. Whereas in a traditional established market, North America, people have expectations, familiarity, and people will make buying choices based on, you know, I want the wiper stalk to be on the same side. In our local markets, we deal with a different set of expectations. So I think the real question for China is, does that growth rate continue? There are some pretty strong headwinds, and we'll see how that plays out. But I think there is always a culture for acceptance of new technology that exists in those markets that is likely to maintain them in the forefront. Maybe the rate will change, but conceptually, I think they'll still be there. Yeah,
a different culture, right? Where changes and all that stuff can be built upon. Astra, maybe. Yeah, good point. Two more questions, Mike, for you. One, you've mentioned in your introduction, you worked mainly in powertrain before you now moved to Alps Alpine. Compare for a moment the commonality between those two technology areas, but also the differences.
I think powertrain is obviously a fascinating market and industry. It's sort of at my heart as well. But what I see in powertrain is a convergence of technologies. So that there are, you know, the electrification is fantastic, and there's a lot to be done there. Hydrogen, fuel cells, and so on. But as I mentioned before, I see that in the in-vehicle space, there is so much more to come. And so for me, that's really what makes that area so exciting. You know, it's an area where we have not seen that level of change in decades. So for me and the industry that I'm in, I think it's a really exciting time.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Final question for you, Mike. What's the next car you're going to buy and why?
Great question. I honestly don't know. I'm not that far off buying a new car, and I'm still going through what I really love the idea of an EV. I don't have an EV yet. And I think now is probably the right time. So probably an EV.
Okay. And the why, is it the environment? Is it the just a new technology? Because you and I both love technology, as we just kind of explored here. Is it the different driving style? Because you certainly, again, you've been in powertrain, so you've just developed or are involved with gasoline engines and other types of the former main driving technology. Well, what's the main reason for an EV, or is it a combination of all of them?
Yeah. I think primarily it's technical interest. I mean, as you have, I'm sure you've driven many EVs, and it's a different experience. But I'd like to be able to say I've lived it and speak from experience. Yeah,
that's great. Thank you so, Mike, for joining us and helping us together with you reimagine mobility going forward. Thank you, Mike.
Great. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for listening to Reimagine Mobility Podcast. If you like this episode, please subscribe and tell a friend.